This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Anonymous quotes.
Yeah, Meltzer introduced me to this this drug, which is anonymous player quotes from writers who I trust.
Yes.
Yeah. And this isn't a recent phenomenon. Every now and then, like going back decades, there have been some writers where when they give anonymous quotes, you're kind of like, I don't know if this guy. But this article I trust.
This is on ESPN.com. Aiden yeah. Gonzalez and Jesse Rogers are the two authors of the article.
Yeah. So these are anonymous players and... I don't think I put any of the executive quotes on here because I hadn't really heard a lot of anonymous players talk about the scandal. So I wanted to hear more from, which I thought was telling because I think players, I think there are a lot of players on teams who also maybe aren't sure about what other guys on their team have tried.
Mm-hmm.
So players are a little bit more careful about speaking out against this, or maybe they have former Astros on their team now. And it's not even a fraternity type thing as much as it is like, okay, look, I don't know what we did or what anybody else did, so I'm just going to stay mum about this.
I'm going to tell you right now, if this were a Hollywood scripted thing,
yeah,
the appropriate thing to happen, at least in the eyes of Astros fans, would be for the Oakland A's to get punished for this. Because Mike Fiers is on the Oakland A's.
Oh, yeah.
For him ratting out, because he wasn't on the A's in 2017. He doesn't know.
Right.
Like, what if it turns out they were doing it
and
in 2017?
Guys get screwed. Yeah. Guys from 2017 get screwed.
Or his team now gets screwed because they got to fire the manager and fire Billy Bean getting fired. Can you imagine? Getting fired over sign stealing. That would be the irony in all of it. If Fiers, who started this whole thing.
I can't believe I almost got a Fiers-style tattoo on my arm. I almost got pain. Vertically on my forearm, I would have had to destroy. I would have to turn it into a bald eagle or something, which would be all equally bad.
He has a tattoo down his forearm of his name.
Yeah, when he holds his arm up in his stance, there it's his Fiers right down.
My brain has probably tried to block out anything having to do with Mike Fiers as a defense mechanism.
It's kind of, you know what though, and honestly, I thought it at the time, but I never said it. But wow, pretty egotistical. This is like your your name in huge letters like that.
Kind of. In some ways, it's the safest thing to put on there.
It's pretty good.
Like Pete Davidson's out here getting tattoos of Ariana Grande, and then he's broken up with her 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's at least you know that you putting a tattoo of yourself or your name, you're never going to break up with yourself. You know, so I feel it's safe.
I was showing you a picture of it. Just so you
I'm not gonna lie. The font is kind of badass.
It looks like it's in Fuego, and it's good branding, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, you see it like, oh yeah, it's the Fiers character.
So you have no ink anywhere?
No, I don't. I always my policy on tattoos is. I have, since the age of 25, been waiting until I get shredded. Because I'm like, you know, like I don't want to get a tattoo. And then all of a sudden, I get down to 6% body fat.
Right.
And it's all distorted.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, well, you know, probably within 6 months or so, I'll be shredded. And then I'll get the tattoo. And I'm not making a lot of progress.
Let me just ask you. I just want to ask you a question. It's just a question.
Yeah.
It's not about the efficiency of this tattoo that you're going to get.
Yeah, yeah.
Should you not maybe wait till you're down to 6% body fat just because... Look at the majority of your life and see what your body type is going to be.
That's the point I'm making here. Yeah.
Oh, so you'd rather... I'm just wondering, if you get these tattoos when you're 6% body fat...
Yeah.
No offense, but chances are you're not going to be
right,
there
right.
forever.
No, Sean, the whole... None of it makes any sense.
Yeah.
It's me being foolish and having unrealistic
expectations. I feel like mentally you're ready for a tattoo.
Oh, no, I'd love to. I'd love to get inked all the hell up. I'd like to have a sleeve. And I just don't know. I feel like the first one needs to be special. Unlike my first several experiences otherwise, I feel like my first one, with this one, I want to do it right.
Okay.
I want this first experience to be a special one.
Okay.
Not just something that happens when I'm super drunk and can barely remember and wasn't even sure I did it at all.
How did this unicorn wind up on my ass?
I'm pretty sure I lost my virginity last night, but these condoms look pristine.
All right, so 713-572-4610. What should Seth get as his first tattoo? That, along with who would you buy a round of drinks for? Who would you leave $130 for in your will to buy a round of drinks?
I went into a tattoo shop and I told them I want a tattoo on my penis of a larger penis.
That's deep.
That was what I tried to, yeah, and they turned me down.
They turned you down. Yeah. They said, see you later.
Jonesy, did you dump that? We're allowed to say that
word. Yeah, no. Okay.
It's
8:43. It's
8:40. All the kids are in
school.
He's
not planting any bad ideas in kids' heads.
Yeah, nobody's going to, no 12-year-old is going right. to get a tattoo of a larger penis That's on his penis. Right.
Now, if you were to say that in 7:30, different story altogether. All right, so anonymous quotes about the Astros. Here we go. This is one. This is from a retired major league pitcher.
Yeah.
It's hard for me not to look at my own numbers against them and be pissed. Everyone involved deserves to be seriously punished because it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Have we seen any validation like that? Have we seen any sort of statistical backup for this?
It's because it's hard if it happens over the course of 1 year where it may have been effective. We don't know like how long over the course of the year. It wasn't the entire season, and we don't know how many guys were using it. And obviously, some guys were much better on the road that year than they were at home. Now, that doesn't mean that they didn't do it, because maybe they would have been worse at home if they hadn't used this. I think all of this comes down to, I think there are some pitchers that maybe in one or two at-bats it affected them. I'm not trying to diminish this. Or in terms of that one team doing it that maybe you faced as a pitcher, especially a couple times in a season, yeah. Dude, that's not why you didn't win the Cy Young that right. year. That's not why you're not going in the Hall of Fame. Right. I would say just settle down a little bit. You know,
stop thinking so highly of yourself,
yeah.
Mr. High and Mighty. Next one. This is from a pitcher. Quote, I faced Carlos Beltran in 2017. I actually went back and looked at the at-bat. I knew it could be the last time I might pitch against him, and I wanted to get him out. He was always such a hard out. I got ahead 0-2. Then he laid off four straight pitches. I couldn't believe it. When I went back to watch it, I heard the banging. I just figured I was tipping or whatever. No one knew to what extent they were doing it, but we all suspected something. I believe that quote.
So I believe it, except that's very easily verifiable. We should go back through Beltran's at-bats. And what was it? The count was 0-2, and then he sat on four straight pitches?
Yeah, he laid off four
That's easy enough to find. I feel like one of our little nerdlings will have that within 5 minutes. I can't work the baseball reference like you kids can.
Go look up all the at-bats where Carlos Beltran fell behind 0-2 in 2017.
And then sat on four straight pitches.
Right.
And then we'll know who this is.
Yeah, we don't even need to find the video of it. Well, we could then go find the video of it.
You know, it's going to be super interesting. I'd love it if that scenario never actually happened, because then I have to go back and talk to these writers and say, wait a second, buddy. Like, what? This is very easy. We're going to figure out which several pitchers this might be, or if actually none of them at all.
That's easy to look. Now, it's time consuming.
Yeah.
But it's easy to look up because ESPN's play-by-play for baseball has the pitch sequence for every batter.
Right.
I may go do that. I may get a bottle of wine and sit there and go through all of Carlos
Beltran's
at-bats.
All you have to do is go look up his walks. That's it. You don't even have to look up all of that.
Right.
Yeah, just look up his walks.
Oh, thank you,
In
Seth.
2017.
You just streamlined this, ironically, the same way Carlos Beltran streamlined the sign stealing.
And I would just go ahead and start from, latest to earliest. Start at the back. Start at the postseason. Move your way forward.
Game four of the World Series. This is not an anonymous quote. This is just a factoid, I guess. Alex Wood and his catcher, Austin Barnes, switched their sequence every eight pitches or so out of paranoia that the Astros were stealing signs.
Yeah.
The Astros went 8-1 at home that postseason while on their way to a championship that October, winning every postseason game except the one against Wood at Minute Maid Park. The seven other starting pitchers who faced the Astros at Minute Maid Park that month, Chris Sale, Masahiro Tanaka, CeCe Sabathia, Yu Darvish, Clayton Kershaw, big names, gave up a combined 28 runs in 31 and a third innings.
And then in that series especially, Darvish in game three, not a good outing for him.
No.
And then Kershaw gave up the lead in game five, both of those obviously at home. And that would jibe with what happened in 2018. People got paranoid about all of this, and they started changing their signs up a lot more. And it's interesting. People keep sending me a lot of articles saying, "Hey, look, people used to be better at mixing up their signs, and they used to be more paranoid about it. Somewhere along the way, they got lazy. Look, this is on." There are a lot of people trying to victim blame here, where they're saying, "Like, no, this is on managers and players for not mixing up their pitches." So be it. If that's the case, it doesn't change the fact that they were using electronic means to come by all of this. And it's, I don't know, like, it feels almost like a, it feels a little bit like you shouldn't have worn that dress. You know, like, what the hell? Okay. It doesn't change the fact that somebody did something that was against the rules.
Well, it's like taking up for Odell Beckham Jr., like, you know, giving out the $100 bills.
Yeah.
And, like, he can do whatever he wants. He can give out $100. Like, it's his money. He can
just
give
because
out-
you think it should be a certain way doesn't mean that it wasn't
right.
against the rules.
Well, there's a rule yeah. in place that you can't do those kind of things. So, last one here, last bullet point. Some players said had suspicions or said suspicions about the Astros illegally stealing signs were a constant topic of conversation coming in and out of series in Houston dating as far back as 2016. Grievances were filed, one player said, and baseball didn't act until the issue reached the public. Yeah. But multiple pitchers also put the onus on themselves, assuming they were tipping their pitches, or at worst, the Astros had an elaborate but legal process of stealing and relaying signs. They definitely wondered how the Astros were winning the battle when the bases were open, meaning no runner on second base.
Right, that was, and that's when everything kind of... And that's what's interesting, because my first instinct on that is, okay, that answers the question of why fires went to the Athletic instead of complaining to baseball, because apparently pitchers had been complaining to baseball. But by 2018, it seemed like the level of paranoia, and we saw it when it got to the postseason, the paranoia was extreme
yeah.
among pitchers and catchers. It seemed like that had kind of policed it. The problem was the persistent rumors. And this is where I think some people in baseball are still left unsatisfied. There were persistent rumors that teams were still doing it in 2019. And that's why the buzzer rumors, all of that, I have no idea how pervasive it still was in 2019. It seemed like the stuff that guys were doing in the playoffs, I mean, you saw how often catchers get crossed up in the playoffs. It seems like any amount of sign stealing would have been ineffective at that point. Yeah. And I wonder how much of this was just almost like a rumors gone wild.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why fires at that point. And at that point, by 2019, people weren't acknowledging any great performances as actually great performances.
Yeah, that's a really good point about fires going to the Athletic. I hadn't thought about that. That players had filed grievances and they were getting treated maybe the same way like the cops in a small town would treat you.
Oh, right? Yeah. We'll get to it. Old man McGillicuddy, who, by the way, also paid for my daughter's tuition or something.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not going to go investigate these charges.
Right.
We're talking about small town cops, any Houston cops.
I can't believe this is, we know the type of cops we're talking about. That's it. I'm in a spot where I'm sticking up for Mike Fiers. I got to back away from the mic
back
for a
off,
second.
Man.
Yeah,
you're drinking the Kool-Aid.
I got to back.
He's like John Boy's in your brain. He's got a buzzer in your brain. Yeah,
I know. I went back and looked at the Athletic.
Yeah, because I'm not. I was explaining why he might have gone, but it was because he was allowing this paranoia to fuel him. Like, it had gotten to the point where people were believing any conspiracy theory they saw online, and they didn't want to believe that any batters that were batting well were actually just good batters.
I went back and looked at the Players Tribune articles that Carlos Beltran wrote.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote one leading into the 2017 season where he called a shot. He said, we're going to win the World Series this year. And then one after the season where he announced his retirement. And there are some very ironic and interesting quotes in here, Seth, especially the one after the season where... He talked about in his retirement one about at the All-Star game in 2006 or 2007, seeking out Barry Bonds to get advice.
Yeah.
He talked about, going and he said,
put a buzzer in your syringe.
Well, it's funny. Like
put a buzzer in your ass.
The one player he mentions in his retirement post about going and seeking advice and being like just in awe of getting advice is maybe the biggest individual cheater in the history of the sport.
Right.
Right. So that was ironic. He goes on to say, as I got older and I became that player, the younger guys came to me for advice. I started to understand something, that my purpose in this game is to not only hit home runs or win championships, it's to share what I know with the younger players, like so many other players have done for me. It's to give back to the game of baseball.
I told you. I was wrong. I called.
He just spent 3 months banging on a trash can when he wrote that.
That's how he gave back to baseball. I errantly called Alex Cora the Johnny Appleseed of sign stealing, when in fact it was Carlos Beltran who saw it as his duty to go out and spread the word about how to sign steal amongst Major League Baseball. He might have helped the Yankees out as an advisor in 2018.
I will say this, he could get a job as an efficiency expert, because he's the one that took the Astros scheme from being one that required somebody on second base to being one that required nobody at second base. The trash can can banging was his idea.
That's right. I wonder if he put that on his resume when the Yankees hired him as an advisor.
Who knew?
I bet they hired him as an advisor, and he sat down, and he came in, and he was wearing a suit, and he rolled his sleeves up, and he said, all right, take me to your espionage room. And they looked at him, and they're like, our what? And he goes, oh, we've got a lot more work than I thought. You guys, put on a pot of coffee. We've got some work to do.
That's great. Who knew? Like, Carlos Beltran has a better chance of winning a Nobel Prize now than he does Manager of the Year.
Yeah.
He streamlined the efficiency of one of the most notorious sign-stealing schemes of all time.
I think what Carlos Beltran realized is in this life, it's not what you accomplish yourself. It's what you help others accomplish that is most rewarding.
Well, that's basically what that paragraph says.
Yeah, good job, Carlos Beltran. Thanks a lot.
One more very quickly. After, this is Carlos Beltran in the Players Tribune. After we lost game 5 of the ALCS to the Yankees, keep in mind a series where the home team won every single game, I sensed that the guys were a little bit tense. So I called a team meeting and I just talked to them in a very casual way. I wanted to loosen them up. And I guess it helped because we went on to win game 7 and advanced to the World Series. Then before game 7 of the World Series against the Dodgers, in my mind, I was going to do the same thing. I was going to talk to the guys very casually and make sure they were ready. But when I got to the clubhouse, there was no tension. That was his role. He was just there to be a sage from on high who could give players advice and make sure that that trash can got thumped as hard as possible.
This damn
in a half-empty stadium.
I know. In a half-empty stadium. Where, like, it clearly picked up on the mics.
I feel stupid for no... Like, I and the rest of us should feel stupid for nobody having pointed this out. Like,
I kept adjusting my volume on my TV. I was like, something's wrong here. This damn smart TV ain't so smart with this thumping.
That's right. That's
every
right.
time there's a change-up, this thing... For three years, I'm like, why does my TV hit the skits every time there's a change?
Do you know how much money I spent repairing this damn TV?
Throwing my remote against the
wall. Fine them $5 million and $1,000.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.